Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
The decision is that the administration will not defend the Defense of Marriage Act.
That's White House Press Secretary Jay Carney. He is announcing President Obama's decision that the Justice Department will no longer defend the constitutionality of the Defense of Marriage Act. That 15-year-old law bars federal recognition of same-sex marriages, trumping state law on the federal level. Anyways, joining us now is Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick and also Kenji Yoshino, a constitutional law professor at New York University. Good morning. Todd, can you explain, or just give us a real quick reminder of what exactly the Defense of Marriage Act says?
Sure. The Defense of Marriage Act was passed in 1996 by a Republican Congress, signed into law by Bill Clinton, a Democrat. It was seen as a grand compromise on social issues at the time. Basically says that federal law defines a marriage as between one man and one woman. Now, on the practical level, that has taken on a lot more meaning now than it did then. In 1996, no states recognized gay marriage, although it was a rumbling that it could someday happen. Now, five states and the District of Columbia do. And what that means is, if you come from a state where you're legally married and gay, like Vermont or the District of Columbia, and you have state benefits because of that marriage, you can still be denied federal benefits. For instance, there's one case that's roiling in the courts right now that's about federal inheritance tax. There were two women who were married. One died, left her estate to the other, but she had to pay about $350,000 in federal inheritance tax because the federal government didn't recognize that they were married. And if you're not married, you got to pay a lot of money.
Okay, but one can only assume that the reaction to this was swift, especially among Republicans.
Yeah, Republicans see this change as purely political. They accuse the president of making a political move to satisfy his political base. There may be some truth to that. Some of them think it's an unnecessary division at a time when the two sides are trying to reach difficult agreements on spending in the short term and debt in the long term, entitlements, the big questions of politics. Mr. President, why are you bringing up this divisive issue now? So they think it's bad timing and very political.
Okay, that is our Washington correspondent, Todd Zwillick. Thanks, Todd.
Sure thing.
Let's move on to the actual legal aspects of this decision. What exactly does it mean? The gay rights groups are calling this, you know, amazing and earth-shattering step, but all he's saying is they're not going to defend the Defense of Marriage Act anymore. So what does this mean?
That's right. Well, let me start with the earth-shattering part of it, which is to say that President Obama and Eric Holder wrote a letter that stated that gays get heightened scrutiny. And what heightened scrutiny is a special kind of judicial protection that has previously not been given on the basis of sexual orientation. And what the letter says is that sexual orientation meets the indicia of heightened scrutiny, including gays have suffered a history of discrimination, gays are marked by an obvious immutable or distinguishing characteristic, you know, gays are invidiously discriminated against, and gays have suffered a history of discrimination and are relatively politically powerless. And so it's a very, you know, clear, articulate statement, more clear and articulate than we've gotten from any court, that gays are deserving of this particular form of judicial protection.
And one can only assume that the judges in the future are going to use that as guidance before they make their decisions. We're talking to Kenji Yoshino, who's a constitutional law professor at New York University. But let me ask you, it seems like a strange step to suddenly say this is the existing law of the land, but we're not going to defend it. Is this a common thing? Is it pretty rare for a president to do this?
It's extremely rare, but it's not unprecedented. So one of the things that I really appreciate the chance to clarify is that you hear a lot on the blogosphere and on the news that what he's doing is completely lawless and that he's taking the law into his own hands. But actually, if you look back into history, recent history shows us that presidents have not routinely, but often used this power not to defend when they believe in good faith that a law is unconstitutional. So just to go back through our presidents, we have George W. Bush, who refused to defend a piece of federal legislation that banned drug reform advertising in the mass transit system. And Paul Clement said, I'm not going to defend this as Solicitor General because it violates the First Amendment right of free speech. You know, Bill Clinton said, you know, I'm not going to defend federal legislation that tries to supersede the Miranda warning because the Miranda warning has a constitutional dimension and you can't get rid of it without, you know, either a constitutional amendment or a Supreme Court overruling of that case. Before him, this will be my last example, George H.W. Bush said, you know, I'm not going to defend federal legislation that supports affirmative action in contracting. And who was the acting solicitor general who defended, who made that decision not to defend? It was John Roberts, currently the Supreme Court Justice of the United States Supreme Court.
So does, what does this mean? Does usually when a president does this, does this usually result in actual legal a bill coming out of Congress?
Usually what happens is that it wends its way through the courts, you know, or alternatively, there can be congressional action. But another thing that's really helpful about that question is that I want to drive a really strong wedge in between the president saying he won't defend it and the president saying that he won't enforce it, because he's saying the first, not the second. So this law is still on the books. It's still being enforced. Holder's very clear that this is not going to be removed from the books until we get a determination either from the Supreme Court or through legislative repeal.
All right. So those people who have a recognized same-sex marriage or civil union in a state, maybe they're going to get married in Hawaii, and therefore can file as a married couple on their taxes for the state, they're still going to have to file as individuals for the federal taxes.
Absolutely right. All this means is that they now have a new ally in court in the form of the executive branch. So members of Congress can now come in and make the arguments that they want to make. And in some ways, we should celebrate this, right? Because you don't want a half-hearted defense with respect to zealous litigation in the courts. You want somebody who really has a dog in the fight and who really believes, you know, that the legislation is constitutional rather than somebody who believes that it's unconstitutional.
But people are going to question, I mean, we only have a second, but people are going to question whether the decision that it's unconstitutional is actually correct.
That's right. But that's a matter for the courts to decide. And President Obama did nothing to take this away from the courts.
All right. So, but am I right? The judges will probably use this as some kind of guidance?
I hope they do. Okay. I hope they do.
Kenji Yoshino is the constitutional law is a constitutional law professor at New York University. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
We certainly want to hear your take on this. It can seem like a complicated legal issue, but it has real world implications, and it'll be very interesting to watch how this plays out. The Obama administration says the Department of Justice will no longer defend the Defense of Marriage Act in court. What do you think? 877-8-MY-TAKE or thetakeaway.org.